Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to church. Today I'm going to be preaching on Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You might like to open your Bibles there. Please join with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, your word, the Bible, tells us that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Please may your word have that illuminating ministry in our lives today. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Last week in our introductory sermon, we saw that Proverbs is for the simple, the young, and the wise. And indeed, as you look at Proverbs chapter 1 through to chapter 9, Solomon seems to have the young especially in mind. Pretty much every chapter begins with a parent urging a young son or daughter to listen. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forget not your mother's teaching. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you receive my words. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching. Chapter 4, verse 1, hear, O son, a father's instruction. And that goes on, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. A son could equally mean daughter. It's probably better to translate it, my child. But here, clearly, the parent is saying the vital organ, if a child, if a young person is to be wise, is to have ears to hear. Listen. Wisdom requires that a person listens. In fact, the German reformer Martin Luther said the most vital organ in the body is the ear, because it is through the ear that we hear the word and we receive faith to believe it. Now today, I want to take two proverbs which I believe stand out as most people's favourite proverbs in the whole of the book of Proverbs. If we're sending greeting cards or whatever, we often say at the bottom of the card, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And this will make a very good memory verse for this week. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Now just let's have a look at this first section of chapter 3. You'll see that the first section proceeds from verse 1 down to verse 12, and every odd verse, that is 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, is actually giving us an instruction, a plea or an exhortation, and every even verse, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, is giving us a promise which results from that action if it is followed. So here is the action in the odd verse and the promise which follows from the action. Look, for example, at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. There's the plea. Verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. There's the promise. Verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. There's the exhortation. Verse 4, there's the promise. So you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, here's the exhortation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Here's the promise. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. There is the promise. There's the exhortation, the plea, the direction, and it is followed by the promise. Now, I believe that if you said to the average parent in church or grandparent, are you ambitious for your children? They would say something like this. Well, we are ambitious for our children and grandchildren, not necessarily that they be wealthy or have the best car or the best house or live in the best street with the best job or get the top mark in class. All these things may well be good and something to be striven for, but these are not the main goals for a parent. What are the main goals for a parent and a grandparent? Now flip, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is coming towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus is beginning to apply the Sermon on the Mount. And look at what he says there in verse 15. He says there are always twos. There are two prophets, a true and a false prophet. There are two trees, a good and a bad tree. There are two builders, a wise and a foolish builder. But look at verse 13. He says there are two gates, and these two gates open to two paths. There is a wide path which matches a wide gate. And this wide path is an easy way, and the vast majority of people are on this wide path, but be careful not to be on it. Because this is a path, though it is popular, it leads to destruction. And then Jesus says, verse 14, there is a narrow path. There is a narrow gate which matches a narrow path. And this way, notice, is not easy. It is actually hard. And the majority are not on this narrow path. But there are few on this narrow path. But this path's destination is life. Now, I believe it's right that we have for our children and grandchildren an ambition. Stay on God's path. Stay on the path which leads to life. Don't be deceived into leaving this path, because this path alone leads to life. Don't be sidetracked to another path, a more popular path, a path where you see all your friends, they're on that other path and they seem to be having such a good time, a path that is more profitable. No. Stay on God's straight path. You see, if you're naive, if you're simple, you could say, but on the other path, there's a better scheme over there. It only takes a little compromise to be on that path. Don't go there. If you're young, you might say, on that other path, there's adventure. It seems exciting. Look at all the people. All my friends are over there. Don't go there. If you are wise, there's another path, isn't it? Look at that path over there. It's more comfortable. I can be more secure if I go over there. Don't leave God's path. Here is a proper ambition, is whatever career, wherever you live, stay on God's path. It will be hard. It will not be easy. But it is God's path, and it leads to life. And there are few on it. I'm told there's a Portuguese proverb that says, God writes straight with crooked lines. God's path is straight. It leads to life. But sometimes it leads through tough bends on the path. Stay on the path. But they're having a good time on that other path. I can make so much more money on that other path. That's okay. But look at where that other path leads. Now, I believe that Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is telling us how to stay on the straight path, how to stay on God's path. Now, I know very little about rock music, but I know that there is an Australian rock band called AC/DC. Now, just to help you remember what I'm going to say, the two steps of staying on God's straight path can be summarized by DC/AC, right? Not AC/DC, but DC/AC. So how can I stay on God's straight path? DC/AC. Here are the two steps. Verse 5, DC. Depend completely on the Lord. DC, depend completely. Trust in the Lord, it says. Trust, depend, rely, believe. When the first missionary to what we call today Vanuatu came from Scotland to the New Hebrides, he translated the Gospel of John, and his language helper could not help him with the word in Vanuatu and for believe. One day they were out hiking through the jungle, and at the end of the day they came back to camp. And his language helper collapsed into his hammock or his portable bunk. And John Peyton said to the language helper, tell me what you have just done. And he used that rather awkward expression of collapsing into a hammock to translate the word believe. That's precisely it, isn't it? Trust, believe, rest all your confidence, notice, in the Lord. He doesn't say trust in God. He says, trust in the Lord. He uses the personal name for God. Lord, it is the Hebrew word Yahweh. It is the one who knows you. It is the one who loves you. If I was to be introduced to our Prime Minister, Mr. Scott Morrison, I would name him Sir. Prime Minister, leader, Mr. Morrison. But his children wouldn't call him any of those things. They'd call him Dad. And God often comes over as an impersonal force. He's a moral code or an ethical system. No, trust in Yahweh. He is the one who loves you. He is the one who cares for you. He is the one who is most trustworthy. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. It's just a way of saying completely. In the Old Testament, the heart really was the engine room of your life. Your mind and your heart were very closely linked. Consciously trust in the great God who is Yahweh, your heavenly Father. He is trustworthy. And say to yourself, I will trust in him no matter how dark the days. And look at verse 5, it says, and do not, the opposite of this, do not lean on your own understanding. That is your way of seeing things when they collide with Yahweh's way of seeing things. For example, how do you see suffering? You might see suffering as a furnace coming to burn you. But Yahweh sees suffering as a furnace coming to refine you. You might say, I'm going to live for me only. But Yahweh says, your neighbour is precious. Love him or her as you love yourself. Something is right and good because Yahweh judges it to be so, not because you say so. Yahweh's way is always the Bible's way. Depend completely, DC, on him. And this is the first step to stay on the right path. That's the path that I yearn that my children, that my grandchildren, I yearn that I should stay on at my age, when security and independence is so important. Someone might say, here is a scheme over here where the investment is questionable. But I hear Yahweh's word that says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? In other words, gain the whole world, but in the process, slip off the path. Yahweh is Lord. He is creator. He is sovereign. He loves you. Depend on him completely. He is to be trusted. DC. But verse 6 tells us that the second step in staying on the right path is to AC, acknowledge him comprehensively. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You see, verse 5, trusting Yahweh is your inside life. You can do that privately, can't you? No one else has to know that you trust Yahweh. But when you come to verse 6, this is your public life. This is what others see and what others hear from you. Acknowledge him, and in acknowledging him, you will recognize that Yahweh is in every area of life to be trusted. He is to be recognized. He is to be pleased. He is to be glorified. Life is not like one of those airline meals where you have your salad and your cheese and biscuits and your dessert and your mains, and they're all divided from one another so that I have my various aspects of life. I have my leisure life, my business life, my study life, and I have my religious life at church. And Yahweh is only interested in that one compartment of my religious life at church. No. This verse says, in all your ways, acknowledge Yahweh, his presence. Please him, honour him, glorify him. I met a lady one night who was new at our church, a church we were going to. I asked her why she'd started coming to church. She told me that she'd been converted through the ministry of a tea towel. Explain, please. My son came home a few weeks ago. And on Monday night, he got up without arguing and he helped me do the dishes. He took the tea towel and wiped. Well, I thought, this is too good to be true. I haven't had to argue him about that. Same thing happened on Tuesday night. And on Wednesday night, I was so inquisitive as to why he wasn't arguing with me about doing the dishes. I said, Grant, what has happened to you? He said, last Sunday night, I decided to become a Christian and follow Jesus. And I realized things have to change around here. You see, that's the way it is in all your ways. In my relationships with my brothers and sisters, my father, my mother, my husband, my wife, my schoolmates, my workmates, my coffee friends, my teammates, the other team, the people who serve me in the shops, people I like, people I may not like. See, this verse says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Someone will remember the great Peter Harvey, who used to report on Channel 9 News from Canberra. Remember Peter Harvey, Canberra? And in his last interview before he died, he was asked, was he a Christian? Peter Harvey said yes, that he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that a great thing? Someone said that if you are a private Christian, the private will drive out the Christian, or the Christian will drive out the private. And I'm so glad that Peter Harvey had that opportunity at the very end for the Christian to drive out the private. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So there it is. Depend completely, acknowledge comprehensively. DCAC. Verse 6, and he will make straight your paths. He will make straight your paths. When times are not easy, when times are hard, when you're on a mountaintop, when you're in the valley, take the worm's eye view. No, take the bird's eye view. God writes straight with crooked lines. The path is tough, but the destination is sure. I will depend completely on him and I will acknowledge him comprehensively. Yahweh knows you and Yahweh loves you. Well, we've been visiting our grandchildren and they've been in isolation from school. One of them was studying online the history of the Cold War, another the dynamics of supply and demand in a free market, another was revising her 7x table, another one was looking at decimal coefficients. I didn't understand that. And all of that's terrific, isn't it? It's all wonderful, it's a wonderful blessing. But in the middle of all that knowledge, I need to recognise that I need wisdom. I need to recognise that what is at the core of reality and harmonise with that reality. I need wisdom, even more than I need knowledge. Knowledge, someone said, is knowing that a tomato technically is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing not to chop it up and put it in fruit salad. Wisdom is knowing reality, and more than that, it is knowing how to harmonise with that reality. And here is the reality. Only Yahweh's path is straight. Only Yahweh's path leads to blessing. Only Yahweh's path leads to life. And that's the truth, isn't it? That is the great truth of the Bible. Because God's path ultimately leads to the Lord Jesus. And only real life comes via Jesus' death on the cross. And that is why the cross is the centre of all reality. If I'm to understand life, I must understand God. If I'm to understand God, I must understand Jesus. If I'm to understand Jesus, I must understand cross. The cross is the key to Jesus. Jesus is the key to God. God is the key to life. Therefore, if I'm to understand what it means to be on God's path, it means I must understand that it is at the cross that God meets us. It is at the cross of Jesus that I have forgiveness, that I'm reconciled to God, that I receive God's Spirit, and that I am adopted into God's family. This is God's path. Trust in the death of Jesus and put your old self, your selfish, sin-centered self, to death in the name of Jesus. This is wisdom. And the Apostle Paul could say, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. Paul had found Yahweh's path, and he will make your paths straight. This is the great reality. Harmony. Stay on God's path by depending completely on him and by acknowledging him comprehensively. Well, there it is, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, the exhortation and the direction, trust in the Lord, and the promise in verse 6. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, keep us all simple, young, and wise, on the straight and narrow path which leads to the cross and then which flows from the cross to true life itself. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.